The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, it's New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Let me start by saying that my wonderful wife, Roselle, who would not miss a parade, and we are in New York as I speak to you right now, went to the Columbus Day Parade, and she came back and said, look what I have. And what does she have? She had a poster, Proud Italian Americans for Cuomo. Now, that's interesting. Obviously, your people were giving them out, no?
Yes.
Well, I just want to point that out. Now, into all of this comes a very contentious debate about whether or not Columbus Day should still be Columbus Day or whether it should be Indigenous people. We know that the people who came over here wiped out the Indigenous population, don't we? So maybe we should make that change. What do you think?
I think we should recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. We all discovered America. I know there were people here before who we have abused terribly, and we continue to abuse them today. We'll put you on reservations, and we take all the good land. Columbus Day, though, and the Columbus statue is about more than Christopher Columbus. The Columbus statue was put up at a time, Alan, when the Italian Americans were being abused. And it was a symbol to the Italian American community of respect and acceptance and inclusion. That's why it generated the heat it did several years ago when they talked about taking it down. The Italian American community will admit the flaws of Christopher Columbus and the indigenous people discussion and many of the bad acts that Christopher Columbus did. But their point is that's not what the statue was about. It had a broader symbolism to them. And my point as governor, we're at a time in this nation where everything is about division. We have anti-Semitism is way up, 86% increase, anti-LGBTQ, anti-African-American, the Ku Klux Klan. This is the cancer within. And I make it a point to have zero tolerance against discrimination of anyone, anywhere, and I am the first to stand up. I went to Israel as a sign of solidarity. Our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters felt that they were disrespected by Trump after Hurricane Maria. I was in Puerto Rico. New York has to be the antithesis to what's going on nationwide. And if the Italian American community feels disrespected, if the Catholics feel disrespected with the Mother Cabrini statue,
let's talk about that. Stop right now. Mother Cabrini's statue, Charlene McRae, the First Lady of New York City, is in charge of a committee to come up with statues for women. They left out Mother Cabrini. You and the mayor of New York, not untypically, find yourselves on different sides on this one.
Yeah, I didn't even have a side. I was not in that game.
Now you're in the... Come on, will you stop it? You're in the game. You know you're in the game. You've already announced that you're going to put up a statue for Mother Cabrini. So don't tell me you're not in the game. You're in the game.
Yes. I was going to explain.
Okay, please.
The city had a poll that they conducted at public expense. Who should we build a statue, female statue? Mother Cabrini wins the poll. They then pick other people who are all good people to build statues.
How come? Anti-Catholic?
Well, when I say I wasn't in the game, had nothing to do with everything I just mentioned. The Catholics then get upset that Mother Cabrini is bypassed. The Italian Americans get upset, and it's a redux of Christopher Columbus statue, right? Which was like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. There was real displeasure, and the Italian Americans and the Catholics felt that they were bypassed. This is non buono for the state. Everyone has to feel included. Everyone has a seat at the table, solidarity and unity. I said, I understand the issue. I'm not sure how we got here, but let's just resolve it. Mother Cabrini deserves a statue. Oh, the one other fact. The Bishop of Brooklyn, Bishop DiMarzio, and the Diocese of Brooklyn and Queens were so upset they said, we're going to build a statue on our own. I said, look, New York is the great mosaic or melting pot. Everyone has to feel included. Solidarity, unity. I'm an Italian American. I represent everyone. I fight for everyone. I'm going to fight for the Italian Americans and the Catholics. We'll build the statue to Mother Cabrini.
Do you think, honestly, that there is still anti-Italian prejudice in our population?
Yes.
How can you prove it?
I believe there's anti-Semitism. I believe there's still racism. I believe there's still anti-LGBTQ. I believe it. And I believe there's still an Italian-American stereotype. I think when the New York Post put my family as the mafia godfather family after Christopher was called Fredo, was that ugly Italian-American stereotype. I think when Casey Siler in the Times Union wrote that ugly piece furthering the stereotype and telling me that I didn't know what I was talking about when I said WAP was a derogatory term towards Italian Americans that we understood to mean without papers. And the head of the Italian organization for the state, the Columbus Club, says, yes, it meant without papers. He says, no, it didn't mean that. It meant a dandy, that you were a dandy. I mean, yeah, there is the stereotype of the Italian American as the thug, as the gangster, as organized crime, and it comes right back up to the surface as soon as it's touched, and it has to be fought and countered all the time. I will not allow my voice to be silent if someone attacks people because of their Jewish faith or their race or their creed, and I won't stand silent on anti-Italian-American stereotyping. So I will not do it.
Okay. So when we see you making this statement, making this appeal, in New York, it certainly is true that many Italian-Americans have been Republicans. Is this a good way of making sure they come into the Cuomo camp?
No. It's a good way of doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. If you believe in diversity and you believe it can work, which is the founding premise of our democracy and America and this state, then you have to work to make it work, Alan. It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's a marriage. It's a friendship. It doesn't just happen. You have to work at it every day. And what you have to say is, if anyone is attacked, we are all there to defend them. And even if it's not meaning, well, it was a joke. It was a, you know, look, I've said things that I didn't mean to offend someone, but people found it offensive, and I said, I'm sorry. My brother the other day said something while he was doing a show. People found it offensive. He said, I'm sorry. The New York Post front page, Casey Siler, the Times Union, you didn't mean to be stereotypical when you put my father as Don Corleone on the front page of the paper? You didn't mean to be anti-Italian? Well, then you should have apologized, because the point is we can't tolerate those stereotypes. And the Jewish people have to stand up for the Italian-American people, and the African-American people have to stand up for the Italian-American people, and the Italian-American people have to stand up for the African-American people. That's the way it has to work. Solidarity and unity. And no one in the family of New York will tolerate discrimination of any other one.
With that said, could you make a comparison between, you've referenced anti-Semitism and you referenced the anti-Italian prejudices. Would you put the Italians at a higher point in prejudice, those who are prejudiced against Italians, than, for example, Jews?
No. I think if you look at the numbers, anti-Semitism is a much worse problem. We had a Holocaust memorial in Westchester the night before Yom Kippur last week that was desecrated. A higher increase in anti-Semitism. But pain is pain, and discrimination is discrimination. And it doesn't work, Alan, to say, well, your pain is greater than my pain, so I shouldn't feel pain. No, all pain is bad. All discrimination is bad. And you may feel it worse, or it may be quantifiably worse for you, but pain is pain. And the only way this works is if you say to me and I say to you, if they attack you, I support you, and when they attack me, you support me. And that's my point on the Italian-American stereotyping. That was my point to the Post and the Times Union. All right, you can say it was some line editor, I didn't know. Well, Casey Siler, he's from Kentucky. What does he know from New York and Italians and Jewish people? And that doesn't exist in Kentucky. Okay.
No, that seems prejudicial against Kentuckians, by the way.
I know. Mr. Hearst, Mr. Rex Smith, Mr. Murdoch, where are you? You're responsible. Somebody should have stepped up to the plate and said, I'm sorry, just the way I have. Because, look, it's so complex, this New York and these politics and ethnic politics and religious politics. And, yes, you say things. I've said things that were misinterpreted or I didn't mean what you heard, right? Mm. Okay, but acknowledge it and move on.
Let's move on. This is a very interesting conversation. I hope we can return to it should you ever come back on the air. I know you will. Thousands of GM workers in New York are taking part in a company-wide strike. You have a bill on your desk that would allow striking workers to receive unemployment insurance after 1 week. Current law says you have to be on strike for 7 weeks before getting the benefits. Do you plan to sign it? And if so, when?
We are looking at that bill now, Alan, and it's additionally complicated because it's in the middle of that GM strike. And how would that bill impact the strike currently going on, if at all? Would
in other words, it might make it last longer if you sign
it. Might. There's some legal questions about the could it be effective if a strike was already going on? So we're looking at it right now.
Okay. The New York Times ran a story on October 3rd that said the Greater New York Hospital Association wrote $2 million checks to the state Democratic Party while you were running for re-election, and then the state okayed a hike in Medicaid reimbursement rates for the first time in a decade. Critics, as you know, call this pay-to-play. Is it?
It was raining the other day, and I went outside. I must always go outside when it rains. No. They are two separate facts. From the day I started running, interestingly enough, they said I was very close to the healthcare industry and 1199 because 1199 supported me. So I was going to be very nice to the healthcare industry because of 1199. First thing I did when I came in, I did the Medicaid redesign team. I brought down the cost of Medicaid. If you look at the cost of Medicaid over my tenure, education has well exceeded the Medicaid increases.
How'd you do it? Just so everybody listening will know how you brought down the Medicaid.
What we did is we went and we said there's waste and inefficiency in the healthcare system, and we have to tighten our belt. The exact opposite of what everybody said. You know, they want to say that there's a causal connection between your political support and your actions. And that is just so fundamentally insulting to me. I get it. I get the possibility and the inference, except it's a disgusting suggestion. I know who your advertisers are on your radio station, and I think you're going to be on the side of your advertisers. Yes, there's a nice cynical, skeptical view, and I'm sure I can find an advertiser who your opinion happens to support. Mm. But to say your support is based on their financial contribution because they buy ads, that says you have no integrity, et cetera. But the facts have shown the exact opposite. Now, the health care costs did go up primarily because we did the $15 minimum wage. And the $15 minimum wage did affect many staff that provide medical services because they were the lower paid people in society. So the cost did go up and we did do an adjustment, but there's no cause and effect. The advertisement did not generate your opinion.
Okay, so Medicaid is in a budget shortfall, right?
Meaning what?
Meaning there isn't enough money. We're spending more than we have.
Well, yeah, not enough money to pay for everything that we are doing, right? It's money is fungible, but yes.
So how are you going to get out of that? I mean, you got a budget, right?
Yeah, we're going, look, the how do we balance the budget?
Yeah.
We tighten our belt in some places when costs increase in other places, and that's the balance that we have to do every year. We want to spend more on infrastructure. You want to build more roads, more bridges. You have two options. Increase taxes, which I have been unwilling to do, and I don't believe is necessary, and I believe it's counterproductive long-term for the economy of the state. I think you just get up and move to North Carolina at one point. So my spending increases have been lower than any governor in history, but I have done more. No governor has a more active government or is doing more infrastructure, and you find deficiencies, Alan. You know, why does everyone else in life have to find efficiencies and stretch the dollar and be smart? But government, no, it's because it's nobody's money, it's taxpayers' dollars, and you can be irresponsible with them.
Now, an article in the New York Times say that you've been delaying payments by a few days to push them into the next budget year. Is that kosher? Will there be a repeat of this practice next year?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I don't understand that fully, so I have to.
Well, if the Times said it, so it must be so, right?
Oh well, yeah. Oh, Times also said in an article the other day, apropos of nothing, they were talking about it. Going back to the Italian Americans, because you now have me.
I read the article. Right? Yep.
They used an expression that Southern Italians were called. I believe they're saying Southern Italians, Sicilians. I'm half Sicilian. Were called, quote-unquote, and pardon my language, but I'm just quoting the Times, nigger wops, N-word wops, as a derogatory comment. When I said that wop was a derogatory comment, that's when the Times Union told me, no, you should look in Wikipedia. Wop really meant a dandy. I'm sure that's what they were saying to me back in Queens. You're a dandy, when they looked at me with scorn and gave me a hand gesture and called me a wop. So that's the New York Times.
The legislative calendar for 2020 was released last week, and lawmakers are due back January 8th. As you begin to put together a budget, what do you want to spend the most money on?
Look, we have more issues, more challenges today, Alan, than probably at any time in my adult life. You have environmental challenges. You have climate change issues that are just unbelievably threatening. And I'm not talking long-term, cosmic, abstract. We have toxic algal blooms that are threatening fresh water today. We have this healthcare crisis that is going on in this state. We want to build more roads and bridges than ever before. So when it comes to the economic side, we're going to have a real balancing act trying to do everything that we need to do within this overall economics. But that's what I'm working through now, and I don't want to give you too much of a preview for the state of the state, because otherwise you won't come, because you'll find any excuse to stay in Massachusetts.
It's true, and I didn't go to, you know, the Syracuse State Fair when you invited me, so
that's
why
right.
would I do that?
That's right. So I want you to come to the state of the state in January, so I'm not going to give you a preview.
I'm not going. Okay, so let me ask you this. You know, there are a lot of people who downplay your administration by saying, hey, you know, a lot of people are moving to Florida, getting the heck out of town, out of Dodge here, because the taxes are just too high. What are you going to do to keep those people from doing that?
What I say to those people is your taxes are lower today than the day I took office. Your taxes are lower today than the day I took office. All across the tax range. As incredible as that sounds, it is true. You haven't had middle class taxes this low in over 70 years, the tax rates.
Isn't some of that due to Trump's tax cuts?
No. Trump has hurt us with his salt tax. Mm-hmm. He increased New Yorkers' taxes. Now, he increased not only New York taxes, but the other Democratic states also saw a tax increase due to SALT to the benefit of states like Florida, Texas, etc. So Trump has been nothing but a negative to us on the tax front, as well as on the social front and the many other fronts. But taxes are down, and you get a lot of benefits to be in New York, right? This is still the greatest state in the nation. And yes, you pay a higher tax rate here than other states.
But a lot of people move.
The benefits of this state.
Well, people take the benefits and then they move. They say, why should I pay this? And it's happening at a very increasing rate. And well, people are pointing at you and saying, you're the problem.
Yeah, well, then, yeah, but there are also facts. Look, the point that people move to Florida in their later years is not a recent occurrence, right? This has been the normal migratory pattern. I remember I was campaigning for Al Gore, and I was in Miami, Florida, in a residence that was for elderly people. It wasn't a senior home, but it was like one of these apartment complexes for retired people, let's call it. I'm giving the speech, and I said, anyone here from New York? Every hand in the place went up.
I remember when Ed Koch went down there figuring that that's how he was going to win a primary or something.
Yeah, and that's right. So that was the normal migratory pattern. You know, they have some weather advantages. If you get to a point where you don't want to shovel snow anymore, you know, Florida was always attractive. So that's nothing new.
Okay, so was it a good idea for the State Public Campaign Finance Commission to meet on Columbus Day to establish rules for public campaign financing? Nobody knows what's going on in Columbus Day. We know that at public radio.
Why, do you think it was anti-Italian-American?
It might have been. No, not at all. Not at all. But it may have been obfuscatory. It may have been, you meet on a day that nobody's paying attention. And there are two things they did there, one of which I really don't like. I don't like this business of, this is Alan speaking from Massachusetts, you know, the idea that third parties are going to get screwed if they do what I think they're going to do and say you can't run on two lines. I'm opposed to that. I know you're for it, right?
No, I've run on multiple lines.
Yes. But now the Working Families Party went and endorsed somebody besides yourself. You had a primary, and they think that you're doing this to get even with them. Your commission is doing this to get even with them.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I think that Santa Claus is real and the Easter Bunny is real. Doesn't make it so. And I took the Working Families Party line after that fact. Mm-hmm. So if there was really this theory of the vengeful Italian-American, then I wouldn't have taken their line in the general election, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to have some logic here. No, if there's any political motivation for me, and I've taken no position on it, I think the Conservative Party has been a negative force in politics. You know, the Conservative Party, there were four Republicans who voted for marriage equality. I saw the former Senator Steve Saland a few nights ago, and I said this about him. He's one of the four who voted for marriage equality. It was one of the gutsiest votes since I've been here.
It was.
And it really called on a legislator to pick between their own political survival and, quote-unquote, doing the right thing by their moral compass.
Right.
And Steve Saland voted for marriage equality. The Conservative Party said that they would punish him, and they did. They ran a person against Saland, knowing they would elect the Democrat, just to punish Steve Saland and show that if you don't adhere 100% to the Conservative Party's principles, they will punish you and they will retaliate against
you. So what's your point?
That was my point. No, that I think the Conservative Party has been a negative force in this state and vis-a-vis the Republican Party. I think they've punished Republicans who dared to stray from what they believed was conservative dogma. Now, marriage equality, they were wrong. The Conservative Party was wrong. Hey, not on a moral basis, on a legal basis.
Hey, I only got two more minutes.
New York got there first, but then the Supreme Court of the United States said, no, you're wrong. Okay. It is discriminatory not to allow gay people to marry. So they were just wrong.
Okay. And it's my job, my sad duty, to say thank you, Governor, for being on with us. And we hope that you will do that again in the future. And it's always great fun to talk to you.
Thank you for keeping me on my toes.